From the Archdiocese of Mobile, Archangel Radio presents The Archbishop Show with our shepherd, Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde, and featuring the Director of the Office of Evangelization and Family Life, Patrick Ahrensberg. And now, your host, Patrick Ahrensberg.
Hello, welcome to The Archbishop Show. I'm Patrick Ahrensberg, Director of the Office for Evangelization and Family Life. Good afternoon, Archbishop. Good morning, whenever this, because this show plays many different times.
It is great to be here with you and be with our star guest today, who we'll introduce in just a moment.
It's humbling to be in his presence.
Yeah.
Would you lead us in prayer as we get started?
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, dear God, thank you. Thank you for the many blessings that you shower upon us, and help us to show our gratitude for all your goodness to us by sharing with our brothers and sisters, your sons and daughters, from the blessings that we enjoy. Be with us in all things. May our lives give you honor and glory as we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen. So, Archbishop, this is the Catholic Charities time of year. And so we wanted to do a show on Catholic Charities. So we went out and got the perfect guest.
Well, you know, it is not only the time of year for Catholic Charities Appeal, but this is a very special year for Catholic Charities Appeal. This is the 90th anniversary. Catholic Charities Appeal began in 1931. This is its 90th anniversary. And so to celebrate this long history of nine decades, the head of the Catholic Charities Appeal this year, the Archdiocesan Chair, was specifically chosen as someone who has a long history with Catholic Charities Appeal.
Former director of the appeal for five different appeals, a longtime pastor at St. Dominic and at St. Michael in Auburn. I'm sure you had other presbyteral duties, but Monsignor Skinecki, our Vicar General in the Archdiocese, welcome.
I'm glad to be here today, Pat and Archbishop. Great to be able to talk about Catholic Charities today in particular.
Which you led as the Director of Catholic Charities Appeal from 1993 until?
1997, five different appeals. Wonderful period of time.
Which to me doesn't seem that long ago, but that was actually 28 years ago. So that was almost a third ago of the history of the appeal.
That's what's so neat about the appeal, that even though that does seem like a long time, 28 years is just a small slice in some ways of everything that's happened with Catholic Charities. 90 years ago, in the middle of the Great Depression, then Bishop Tulin says, we're going to have this appeal to help those in need. And he challenged people in the midst of the Great Depression to give a dollar a month, which was a lot of money, especially in a time when people were struggling themselves, to a dollar a month to help the needy and the poor throughout what had been the whole diocese at that point, all Alabama, and I suspect Northwest Florida
and
as well.
And the panhandle of Florida. I believe that a dollar then would equate to today $115. So he was asking people to give the equivalent today of $115 a month. We're not even asking that. But we are asking for people's generosity, and for a good reason.
I'm always amazed when I hear that story, because it's in the midst of the Great Depression. You know, it's hard enough. I guess the parallel that comes to mind, I don't mean to rub salt in a wound, or, you know, but we kick off the campaign here, the Capitol campaign, in the midst of the pandemic. It's just not the right time to ask for money, and yet it seems to have been the right time because it's been very successful.
It's never a good time to ask people for money, but it's always a good time to ask people to be part of something good. And the Catholic Charities Appeal is something good. We put our faith into action. It's not enough that we have faith. It is that we must live it. And the scriptures make that very, very clear, that we must put our faith into action. I mean, even the devil has faith. The devil believes that there's a God. But it's that, you know, as Jesus says, by the fruit of a tree you will know it. You know, he says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father. You know, it's that we are to call forth our gift of faith by putting it into action.
I think it's also important, too, to always remember how we need to give. That it's important not just for those who are going to receive from the appeal, but also that we follow Matthew 25, I was hungry and you give me food, and we're not always in a position to go out and help people directly. And one of the great things about the appeal, and I think, no pun intended, the appeal that from the very beginning was people realized we could do more together than we could do individually. As much as we need to do individual acts of charity by gathering together and creating programs and ministries and places people could go because of this collective accumulation of funds and volunteers and things that people could donate, we could do a lot more for people, Catholic and non-Catholic, and have done that for 90 years.
You know, Monsignor Skinecki and I were talking a little bit earlier about the program, Archbishop, and Jesus kind of tells us what we have to do. He was preparing us for the final exam in the scripture that Monsignor mentioned, and we're both kind of reflecting on the story you tell about that, or the point you make. Would you like to tell it?
Oh, a true story. It was years ago. I was speaking with a young man who was a university student. Anyhow, he was telling me about his professors, and he happened to mention that one of his professors gives the class the answers, the questions and the answers for the test ahead of time. And I said to this young man, I said, well, then you must be doing very well in that course if the professor's giving you ahead of time the questions and the answers. The young man said, no, actually, I'm not doing very well. In fact, a lot of the students are not doing very well. Well, that made no sense to me. And at that time, I was teaching at the seminary. And so I had to try it and see what would happen. So I taught on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the seminary each week. And so on Monday, I went into the class, and I told the seminarians, I will give a test on Friday. Here are the questions. Here are the answers. I lectured the entire period on that material. On Wednesday, I went back into the class. I said, remember, Friday, we're going to have a test. Here are the questions. Here are the answers. I handed out the questions and answers in writing to the students, and I lectured again. Any questions? No. Friday, I gave the test. Fully a third of the students did very, very poorly. And I couldn't understand why. Later, I saw one of the seminarians who did very poorly. I said, why didn't you do well on the test? I gave you the questions and the answers. He said, well, I didn't understand the material. Well, that wasn't convincing to me. I had handed it out. I had lectured on it. I asked if there was any questions. Anyhow, a little bit later, I saw a second seminarian. And I asked him, why did you do poorly? And he said, well, I didn't have time to study. A little bit later, I saw a third seminarian who had done poorly. And I said to him, why did you do poorly? And this is my favorite answer. He said to me, I didn't think you were serious. Anyhow, Jesus has given us the final questions and the final answers. Just what Monsignor Skinecki said. When we stand before God, the apostles asked Jesus, what is it going to be like when we stand before God? And Jesus says, he will separate you like sheep and goats. And he will ask, when I was hungry, did you give me eat? When I was thirsty, did you give me a drink? When I was a stranger, did you welcome me? Naked, did you clothe me? Sick, comfort me. In prison, did you visit me? And what's going to be our answer then if we haven't done these things? Will we say, like the first seminarian, I didn't understand the material? Well, that's not going to be convincing, God. He's given to us in writing in the Bible. We hear about it at Mass. Or will we be like the second seminarian and say, well, I just didn't have the time? Or will we say, like the third seminarian, I didn't think you were serious? None of those answers are going to be acceptable to God. And the Catholic Charities Appeal is a way, an opportunity for us to put our faith into action, indeed, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, comfort the sick, visit the imprisoned. This is our way to put faith into action.
You're listening to the Archbishop Show on Archangel Radio, 1410 AM, 94.5 FM. Pat Arensberg here with Archbishop Rohde, and we're joined by Monsignor Skinecki, and we're talking about Catholic Charities. Thank God for Catholic Charities, because Jesus expects me to give. You know, I'm busy. You're busy. We're busy. And I don't know when I'm when I see somebody in need, how to meet the need? Because if I give them money, will they spend it on the right thing? How do I feed them? How do I clothe them? Well, thank God for Catholic Charities that gives chuckleheads like me an opportunity to pass the final exam.
And people like you are responsible for creating places like the Catholic Social Service Centers that provide so many wonderful things through the generosity of Catholic Charities. Counseling, basic food, you know, medical assistance through the Ozanam Pharmacy, for example, but also just the ability to be heard, sometimes to have somebody to care, and then really to have some dignity about it. I mean, places like the Curiosity Shop that have clothing that can be given, that people can go out and pick out. It's not just somebody throws something at them, but allows them a chance to see what it is they can actually use. And sometimes furniture and other things, too. And there are just so many great opportunities to not just help those who are in need, but to build up their spirit and to help them realize that they're loved and known, that they're cared about. And Catholic Charities, I think, last year helped about 40,000 people. And most of those people aren't Catholic. It's not a matter of a religious test as to who gets help or who doesn't. It's really more a matter of who's in need. And wherever that need can be met, and Catholic Charities is there, the needs are being met.
Helping people with emergency assistance for utilities, for rent, making possible youth student ministries on our college campuses in the Archdiocese at Troy and Auburn and South Alabama, making ministries available to prisoners, making prison ministry available, bringing Bibles and religious materials to inmates who often, it's in prison when inmates have so much time on their hands that they begin to take stock of their lives, and this is an opportunity to minister to them. Adoption services, the list goes on, more than 30 ministries in Central and South Alabama, and all the money from Catholic Charities Appeal stays in Central and South Alabama helping our neighbors in need.
Now, how does Catholic Charities stack up, Monsignor, in terms of administrative costs?
Well, the costs are very low. It's around 6% are the administrative costs for the actual program. And part of that is because the fundraising expenses are so low, because we use so many volunteers from the various parishes and organizations. There are no paid speakers. There are no paid solicitors. All that's done by volunteers. You know, the staff in the Catholic Charities Appeal office is just three people, and they're augmented by volunteers in the busy times of years. All that allows for the agencies to, you know, to get this money and the programs and ministry to get the money without a lot of costs involved. And then there's also sort of that multiplier effect. Nobody sends money to the Social Security office. Very few people volunteer to work in the food stamps office. But that happens all the time at Catholic Charities agencies. People donate a large percentage of the money, for example, at the Mobile Catholic Charities Service Center, comes from churches, including a lot of non-Catholic churches. They're adding to that, but also from individuals. People donate food and clothing. There was a donation of many gallons of milk recently that were given out in the middle of the pandemic that didn't cost anything, and the government didn't have to go out and buy it. It was simply provided by people. So that dollar turns into more than a dollar, thanks both to the low cost and then also to these additional donations and the volunteers that help make things possible.
Yeah, I was going to add the volunteers. I know several deacons go and help in the food pantry and organize things, so definitely multiplies.
There's so many wonderful charities in our area that do so much good work, but when the money that they raise goes to the place where it's going to be used, it's the point of service, as I think the term is, it is then used by people who receive a salary to help people in need. Well, so much of Catholic Charities goes to places to help people, the points of service, but then it's volunteers who are doing it. So the money that we give is, as Monsignor Skenecki said, multiplied. Because instead of spending so much of it on salaries, it's actually going to the people who need it.
And then I think another good aspect of that, too, would be like the thrift stores, where people donate goods, and that has a double effect. Some of the things they donate are needed by those in need, but then other people shop there. The money that's raised, those thrift stores are generally staffed by volunteers, so it's not a lot of overhead costs. That money then can be used for utility assistance, for rent assistance, for perhaps buying food or other things as there's a need for it. Again, that's a great multiplier.
So you said 40,000 last year.
40,000.
That's amazing.
It is amazing, and it's really neat, too, over the years how the basic mission has been the same, but other things have been added. You know, maritime ministry is something that's been around for a long time, but they're helped with Catholic Charities, ministering to those who come in on the ships. Prison ministry has expanded, and I think especially since my time, one of the great areas that expanded would be Hispanic ministry. There are many more situations and parishes and missions that are reaching out to those Hispanics that are living and working in our archdiocese in a variety of different ways. That's also true with campus ministry. I was a benefit of Focus as a chaplain for Focus and the pastor in Auburn, and what a great ministry that's been, and a strength in so many things. And quite frankly, the students couldn't pay for that on their own.
And Focus, most people don't know what that is. Those are young people who have graduated from college, who spend usually 2 years not working with campus ministry, because we have campus ministry centers, but go out on the campus and have Bible studies, talk to college students to bring them to the campus ministry. So Focus is the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. It's they're really missionaries out there. They're not the ones who are running the campus ministry centers. They're trying to go out and bring people to the campus ministry center. They're doing a great job. But Catholic Charities makes that possible.
You know, you talk about a multiplier. I'm firmly convinced that we have a lot of young adults who want to serve in the church, but they don't know exactly how, where, or what to do. All those kids, sorry, I don't know when I started calling everybody kids, but it's definitely the old man in me. All of those kids who are Focus missionaries, they're going to be active in their parish when they settle down, get married, and are, you know, just kind of living life. So that's a ripple effect of Catholic Charities.
I have seen so many wonderful examples, and I'm a better priest because of some of the examples of Focus missionaries and those affected by Focus. Absolutely. I also thought, too, that one of the things that occurred to me about Catholic Charities this year in particular is that sometimes some of our ministries have been a little bit maybe ahead of their time. You know, one thing that's been going on was around long before my time was what we call the Mass for the Homebound. And there are lots of masses on television now, EWTN, a number of other places. And some would have wondered, why was there a need for such a thing? Well, we've learned this year with the pandemic what the great need there is for having Mass available. And it's been able to be something that within our own archdiocese, people could see their local priests or their local parishes and certainly the archbishop and other people. And that ministry was well equipped to go and do whatever needed to happen because it had been set up and funded by Catholic Charities. And now it isn't just at the moment for those who are sick and homebound permanently so much as it's for anybody that, you know, doesn't still feel comfortable coming to Mass. And what a gift that's been. And it was right there because Catholic Charities had it all along.
You're listening to the Archbishop Show on Archangel Radio, 1410 AM, 94.5 FM. Pat Ernsberg here with the Archbishop and Monsignor Skinecki. So, Monsignor, it's been a while since you were the director of Catholic Charities. Some things have changed. One thing is the convenience of giving. I don't have to sit down and write a check every month.
Yes.
I get very grumpy when I have to sit down and write checks. And it's not just that money's going out. It's I don't want to sit here and do this right now. So you don't have to write a check every month.
You don't. My first year as Catholic Charities Appeal Director was the first year that Catholic Charities used direct withdrawal from bank accounts as a way to pay a pledge. And there was a lot of consternation about it, I remember. In fact, I had consternation. I was worried. For 3 months in a row, we drafted my account before we ever started it just to make sure it worked the way it was supposed to work. But nowadays, in addition to that, one can pay with a credit card, One can go online, you know, directly to the Catholic Charities website, but you can also text a pledge. You can text CCA to 91999, and that will open the link to allow you to pledge and to, you know, to pay and do all those things. And there are a number of different ways and that work. I remember when we put in direct withdrawal, there were some people who were kind of challenging me about that. And I remember saying to them, you know, I bet about 60 years ago, there was this new invention that people were a little suspicious of, too. It was called the check. And we kind of got used to that. And I suspect someday we got used to automatic withdrawal and doing all this stuff via the computer and via a bank. And certainly we did. It's been a great boon. It makes it so much easier to do in a world where not everybody gets to church or comes with money in their pockets or a checkbook anymore.
We talk about raising money and these ministries. What I would not want to lose sight of is that we're helping people. They're not just funding ministries. That sounds like we're just running offices. We're helping people. We're helping the man who came to the Catholic Social Service Center on a cold day who didn't have a coat and said, "Do you have anything I can wear?" You know, and they provided him with a coat. It's the woman who was going for a job interview that she wanted so badly to be able to work, but she had nothing suitable to wear to the job interview. And the ladies there at Catholic Social Services were able to get her dressed and look good for her job interview. It's the mother who has a problem pregnancy. And she has no family, and no one wants to have anything to do with her. And she wants her baby, but abortion looks like the only option. She doesn't want that. And who gets the help she needs, the medical help and the material help, so that she doesn't have to lose her baby in abortion. And then has the parenting classes that she needs to learn how to be a parent. I mean, it's story after story. It's the guy who is really trapped in his house because he's in a wheelchair and he has steps and couldn't get out of his house without people coming and carrying him down the steps, and Catholic Social Services built a ramp for him. These are stories of people, and that's who is being helped. I would not want the impression that, oh, we fund ministries, because that just sounds like we have offices. No, we're helping our brothers and sisters.
We do have offices, but they exist precisely to go out and minister.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we ask people to give. Like the requested amount is $50 a month or $600 a year. But whatever anyone can give, you can give more, great. No donation is too big. If someone can only give $1 a month, wonderful. That'll do fine. You know, no donation is too small. As I often say, you know, a drop of rain it seems very insignificant, but you put enough together and you have a mighty river. Whatever someone can afford, please, this is going to help someone else.
And our Lord was pretty pleased with the widow who put her last coin in. He was more pleased with that than any of the other gifts.
And we always ask people to reach out and to pledge in faith. You know, try to, yes, give some money now if you can, but make a pledge. There's a whole year to pay it, and it's important that we have, you know, the resources to help those individuals in need throughout the year, and that sometimes we step out in faith and we're rewarded for it. And this is one of those cases where that happens absolutely. There are so many stories of people who have managed to come up with a way to be generous and have been blessed for it, if not materially, at least in understanding they're doing what the Lord wants them to do.
You know, there's a shift, and I can't really say it's fully been made in my heart yet, but I'm trying, I'm getting there, where you don't see your money as being your money. You're just a steward of blessings that God has given to you, and you're not supposed to hoard it. You're supposed to use it for everybody, not just for yourself. And that's a fundamental shift that, that folks make. Is this is not given to me solely for me. This is something God has given to me, and I'm going to be to whom much has been given, much is going to be expected. I'm going to be judged. Again, the final exam has been shown to us. I'm going to be judged on how I use the resources that God blessed me with to help my neighbor.
We can never outdo God in generosity. It's important that we try and be generous to imitate the Lord. Absolutely.
So I'd ask people, first of all, to pray for the Catholic Charities Appeal. You know, sometimes that sounds so trite, like, oh, no, that you have to say pray. Oh, no, I mean that. Prayer is powerful. And so pray. Pray not only that God will speak to our heart, my heart, in deciding what to donate, what to pledge, but will touch many hearts. Pray that the money that we have will truly bring the love of God to people. You know, there's great darkness in the world, and this appeal brings the light of God's love to many. This appeal is needed as much now as in 1931 when it began. The pandemic, the hurricanes have created so much struggle. And on top of the usual struggle that people have. So pray, and then please prayerfully consider your donation, your pledge to the appeal.
Remember, in all things charity, that's the theme this year. Be charitable to the appeal. God is pleased with gifts, with sacrifices of that kind.
Monsignor, thank you so much for your years working with the appeal, and thank you for being here on the show today.
Welcome.
Archbishop, would you give us a blessing as we close?
Well, may the blessing of God be upon you, and especially upon our neighbors in need, that they may know that they are loved and cared for through what we do in the name of Jesus Christ. And may God's blessing be upon you and your loved ones to bless and protect you all, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Until next time.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to the Archbishop Show with our shepherd, Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde, as well as Pat Ahrensberg, the Director of the Office of Evangelization and Family Life. And now, stay tuned for more solid Catholic programming on Archangel Radio.